Woman by Tony Bagley, with Martin Clunes as Roy, Zoe Wanamaker, Jane, and Toya Wilcox, Elsa. David Troutman, Nicky Henson, and Jeff McGinn.
And through it all, I walked tall and did it my way.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a great audience.
Dick?
What about that, ladies and gentlemen? It's Dean Martin, my very special guest star.
What do you think you're doing, Dick?
Wait a minute. You're not Dino.
Come on, Dick. Let's go inside.
You know how I know you're not Dino? Because Dino and I are buddies.
Yeah, come on.
Hey, Dino, get out of here. Don't be shy.
Have you considered cranial sacral therapy, mate?
I've travelled each and every highway.
I've never cared much for my way. I'm more of a I will survive sort of person.
Someone get this imposter out of here.
Do you think I'd come out here in front of my fans if I wasn't Dean Martin?
Want to know what gave you away? Dean always kicks me in the head when we meet.
Why don't we go inside, Dick? Sorry, Frank.
I like it out here.
Look. You can't spend the rest of your life outside Tesco singing My Way. You've got a paper to run.
I will survive.
Gloria Gaynor.
Right. Before my time, mate. There were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew.
That's cruel.
Well, I thought it was cruel.
Oh, come on, Eve. Forget it. No, my body's my temple these days.
I just need somewhere to kip for a few days, that's all.
Oh, yeah?
I'll soon be on my feet again.
How did you get out of prison anyway? I thought you had another year to serve.
All right.
Oh, no.
No?
No, you didn't. No.
Don't be stupid. Why dig a tunnel when you've got a Harley Street quack?
Of course, silly me. Everyone on this side of dealing charges gets out on medical grounds.
I just see Dickie's come...
Roy, this is Chris. Chris has just got out of Ford Open Prison on medical grounds.
Oh, medical grounds. But inside a dealing, was it?
Don't let him sell you any shares.
Don't worry, E. I know a lost cause when I see one. Roy here looks like a Billericay and Canvey junior investor. Am I right, Roy? You were tempted by the free pencil case and the set of compasses.
Wrong, actually. I'm with the Billericay and Canvey because they took my old oven in part exchange.
Eh?
And they threw in a Walkman. But no pencil case. Actually, I had to give them a Walkman. But you can pop the pencil case in whenever you're passing.
Yeah, no offence, mate, but we only got the best comedians in Ford. Now, is there a coffee machine round here?
Who is that?
The skeleton in my cupboard.
Ex-boyfriend.
Husband.
It's 9:30, and if you've just joined us, you're listening to Call Nick Ross. Our subject this morning is the distressing story of the woman who concealed from her best friend that she was married. The name of that woman is Elsa Cunliffe. She's just about the most duplicitous old bag you could wish to meet. If you know Elsa Cunliffe, or have suffered at her hands, or have a view on how she could be improved, then our lines are now open.
You were married!
Didn't I mention it?
No!
What does it matter, anyway?
Well, of course it matters. It affects things. Like, well, the sort of pension you're entitled to.
Look, I got married, then discovered he was a slag. The gold chain, the Rolex, the portable cell phone. They're not the sort of things you notice until it's too late.
What about me?
What about you? It's got nothing to do with you.
This is very traumatic for me. It's like wandering into a parallel universe where Pavarotti's anorexic or Ian Paisley's Pope.
I know you. You just want the pictures so you can make up funny captions to go with them.
I'm curious, that's all.
I don't want to talk about it, okay? It was all a horrible mistake and now I just want to put it behind me.
Well, at least you could have told your old me.
Okay. Okay, from now on, I'll regale you with every boring little detail about my boring life. We'll start with the holiday snaps of the Algarve.
Oh, maybe not every detail.
Then you can come over and look at the video of my sister giving birth to her Terry. Resigning?
At the end of term, I've decided I'm not the man to take the school forward into the new opted-out era.
You've decided?
Well, I suppose it's been decided for me. certain people have hinted that the new era demands someone a little less complacent.
I see.
I think they want one of these chaps who sports a young-look hairstyle and bustles around with his sleeves rolled up.
You mean I've got to work with Paddy Ashton? Oh. What a ghastly thought.
I expect he'll be more American in approach. That's the way it's going now. You almost imagine him saying things like, "The little girl's room's across the corridor, babe."
Sounds like he's escaped from a buddy movie.
Oh, no, no. He's the maverick cop from L.A. You tell the son of a bitch I'm the one who goes out there and puts his arse on the line.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't work with anally fixated maverick cops.
There is a way round it.
There is?
Why don't you apply for the job?
Me? The head teacher of a Grant-maintained school? A bit like a vegetarian running an abattoir, don't you think?
I'd give it some thought if I were you. After all, why shouldn't you be the son of a bitch who puts her arse on the line?
Quite.
Of course I'm interested in an escaped puma.
A lot of people go under Ford open prisoners, a seething cauldron of pent-up violence.
Hmm? Really?
Well, I don't want to interview it, do I? I doubt if pumas are dazzling raconteurs somehow.
We were like caged pumas in Ford.
I'm not talking to you. Well, I think it is a country diary story. I mean, when did you last see an escaped puma wandering around the shopping precinct?
The warders were only interested in breaking your spirit. Your only thought was getting out of there.
And which Harley Street doctor could arrange it?
Actually, Chris, I used to be a prison visitor. Only I depressed the prisoners.
Then you'll be interested in removing some of those savings from the Bill of Ricky and Camry and coming in with us.
Listen to this, Blossom. This'll kill you.
Privatised prisons. Now, that's where the money is. It's recession-proof. I mean, crime's not going to go away, is it?
Can you believe it? A consortium of ex-cons tendering for a prison.
You want to have a word with our editor. It sounds like the sort of bonkers scheme he'd be interested in. You'll find him outside Tesco singing My Way.
My Way, great song.
Thought I hadn't seen him today.
Okay. You don't like privatised prisons. Now, what about oriental carpets?
Because I'm fed up with being used like a hotel between TV series, that's why.
Perhaps some baked flying lemur to start with. A rare delicacy of interest only to those with the most discerning palates.
Don't change the subject. Baked flying what?
No, it's only joking. Interesting animal, though, the flying lemur. Did you know it's one of the most ruthless killing machines known to man?
Can't you forget about your flying bloody lemur for a minute?
At least it would be if it wasn't vegetarian. Still, I suppose it ruthlessly kills vegetables.
Besides, I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life with a man who thinks peeing in his rubber diving gear is a deeply sensual experience.
What you're saying is that I've got to look for alternative accommodation.
Yes.
Did you know the lemur has an incisor for the sole purpose of grooming its fur?
How very boring of it. Look, I can live with you and live without you. What I can't do is live with you coming and going like this. I'm reaching an age when I need stability. At the moment, I feel like a cross between Cher and a Bronte sister.
What you mean is that you can't live without me. I don't blame you. I couldn't either.
That's not what I said.
Well, clearly you're having a flourishing social life while I'm away. I've been able to move for jealous boyfriends since I've been back.
You ready to order?
What jealous boyfriends?
Assume the baked flying lemurs are.
Yeah, no baked flying lemur.
What jealous boyfriends?
Oh, I suppose I just imagine little friend Roy popping in every other day. We'd rather set our heart on baked flying lemur, you see.
Little friend Roy isn't a boyfriend.
Why don't you give the braised monkey with ricotta a try?
Or perhaps the stoked knocky. How would I know he's not a jealous boyfriend? All I know is that he wasn't on the scene the last time I was here.
Or there's disc-winged bat chowder. Or giraffe Charlotte.
And what about you and your Bond girl?
What?
Personally, I'd recommend Barn Owl in Basil Sauce.
Okay, we'll have two of those then.
Two Barn Owls in Basil Sauce. By the way...
Actually, he was on the scene before you got back.
I think your programs are crap.
Who?
Little friend Roy. We both go back a long way.
Hang on a minute.
And I think your restaurant's crap, Sunshine.
Of course, these Aardmen, so-called, have a very altered opinion of themselves by the time they leave Ford. I'll tell you something, Roy. I've seen men twice your size in tears.
Have you got a home you can go to, Chris?
No, as it happens.
You're not staying with me.
What about the sun lounger in Dick's office, hmm? Dick seems to have forsaken it for the shopping precinct.
The sun lounger? Oh, very funny. Wait till you're down on your luck. I'll come round and have a good laugh at you.
He's never not down on his luck.
Did you hear that?
What?
It came from over there. I thought I heard...
I heard something too.
It was a growling noise.
Don't!
My God. It's the escaped puma.
Where?
False alarm.
Oh, you ought to go professional, mate.
You think so? Actually, I've always seen myself hosting a literary quiz on Radio 4.
I meant as a tosser, a professional tosser.
He's right. You've got the sense of humour of a border collie.
I once patented an invention that could have been made for you.
What's that?
A pre-sealed suicide note on quality vellum for tossers in a hurry.
Hmm. Well, this tosser's off home now.
You're not leaving me with him.
Why not? You both seem to have a lot in common. If I didn't know better, I'd say you're almost passed as husband and wife. Oh, and I think border collies are a hoot, actually.
Yes, well, Eric, how do you rate our first team, Dick Pitt and his dog, Roy?
He's a grand little breeder, Phil, if you can find a bitch that'll go anywhere near him.
Yes, and Roy?
A natural worker, Phil, very keen. Sense of humour's always been a problem in these border collies, though.
He's good outrun, opting for a right-hand gather.
I haven't even given the signal yet, you tosser!
10 out of 10 for the lift there, Phil.
A pity Dick had to lift Roy over the wall. Most dogs Roy's age know how to navigate a wall.
Roy's got those stragglers under control now. He's absolutely peeled him away.
No, no, not them!
I'm not sure he should be rounding up them fell walkers.
He stopped a pitlop against a tourist information kiosk. You see what I mean about his sense of humour?
You useless great lump!
Dick's beginning to look rattled.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, the cross drive was always going to be tricky for a dog with Roy's limited sense of humour.
Well, I reckon his sense of humour would have come into its own in the shedding.
Look, Wynne, I was just...
Oh. Who's Wynne?
A neighbour.
I've come to apologise.
What for?
For flying off the handle of the planning application. You acted with the best intentions. I'm a little inebriated, I'm afraid. We've just been to an all-drinking, non-eating restaurant.
Why don't you come in?
No, no, thanks. Car's parked on a double yellow.
Ah, good job Chad's driving, then.
Chad isn't driving, actually. Chad stomped off in a huff. No doubt in search of greater crested Bond girls.
Has he?
I've given him the push, is he? He didn't take it very well.
I see.
Maybe I will come in. I need to use your loo.
Sure.
Thanks.
Oh, she's round here every 5 minutes with some nugget about thespians. It says in the Radio Times she drinks her own urine.
Clearly a repressed thespian herself.
It was in Cardiff Arms Park I first realised I was going to be a great thespian. Richard Burton was there. So was Harry Seacombe and his singing face workers. Emily Williams saw me and said, "Boy, you have a great gift."
Isn't this a bit Welshist?
The person who helped me most was Winfred Vaughan Thomas. Listening to him going on about the splendour of the Brecon Beacons finally drove me from Wales.
She's not likely to walk in, is she?
Then after an encounter with Dylan Thomas, I met R.S. Thomas, who told me he'd been talking to Gwyn Thomas, who said he knew someone who was casting Thomas the Tank Engine. My portrayal of the legendary Welsh King Gwilym the Thomas won me up after, and I've never looked back.
I better go.
Look, I was just about to have something to eat. Why don't you stay?
Got any baked flying lima in the fridge?
No. I'm sure I'll be able to rustle something up there.
Okay. Chad stormed out of the restaurant before we could as much consume a breadstick. I'm going to have to use your loo again.
Right. Fine. She's chucked Chad, and she's sitting here in my house. Don't be stupid. You're imagining it. You're not. It's real. You wouldn't be worrying because you hadn't seen the loo if it was just a fantasy. Oh, relax. You're doing fine. It's not as if you're going to metamorphosize or anything.
God!
Stay back, darling. I'm beginning to metamorphosize.
No, no, Roy, you're not. You've been taken over by something alien and horrible.
Run! Save yourself before it's too late.
You've changed into a border collie.
Hello.
bugger.
You've been burgled again.
Oh, that's nice. You turn up here uninvited and all you can do is criticise my lifestyle.
Can I come in then?
What do you want?
You're very friendly. I thought we might go to the pub. I'm depressed.
Why?
Sensitive, too, because my ex has turned up. That's why.
I've got someone with me at the moment.
You've never got anyone with you. You're a pathetic, lonely old fart whose idea of a night out is babysitting for your neighbour.
Absolutely. A pathetic, lonely old fart. Now, if you'll excuse me...
Why are you agreeing with me?
Because I'm in one of my mellow, languid moods. Look, I've got to go and do something.
You're behaving very strangely. I think I preferred you when you're chuntering on about Miss Callahan. I mean, you realise you haven't mentioned her once today.
Haven't I?
Don't tell me you're tired of all that earnestness in the face of rural malpractice.
Certainly not. In fact, I found it quite charming.
Give over. You said yourself she was becoming a pain over her tree.
Actually, Roy, I think it's time I earnestly wended my way.
Crikey. I've got baked lima in the microwave, but I mean...
Another day. I'd better go before I become too much of a pain. Oh, by the way, your kitchen floor's got an interesting concave shape. Good night.
I've got subsidence. The builders are supposed to be... Well done.
Sorry.
Well, I really am a pathetic, lonely old fart now. A pathetic, lonely old fart with subsidence.
It's 9:30, and if you've just joined us, you're listening to Call Nick Ross. We're talking about pathetic, lonely old farts with subsidence and the threat they pose to the rest of us. If you know one, or you think the Royal Yacht is in danger from one, then do please call. Our lines are now open.
And then again,
Dick. Have you been here all night?
You see this, Royce? This is the hand that shook the hand of Geoffrey Howe. Now look at it. A gnarled, grimy claw clinging desperately to the base rung of this job-locked cold line.
Well, you can't blame Geoffrey for that. I mean, okay, you may have sat through one too many of his keynote speeches.
You see, mate, it's like what we were talking about the other day. What were we talking about the other day?
Look, Dick, you've got to get a grip on yourself. You're still editor of the paper, for God's sake.
Editor? I'm part of the new underclass now. You know, until a few weeks ago, I saw the underclass as a group of shirkers who willfully refuse to share in the benefits of an enterprise economy.
Well, then it's been worth it, hasn't it? If a kinder, gentler, wiser Dick emerges.
Don't be a prat all your life.
Crunchies, Crunchies. A delicious, malted, vitamin-rich cereal for all the family. Your daily bowl of goodness comes in economy grant-maintained sizes and in handy national curriculum sizes. Crunchies, Crunchies. Yum, yum, yum. What do you think?
Well...
I thought I'd insert it between Henry the Fourth. That, boys and girls, was Henry the Fourth Part 1. Now, before Henry the Fourth Part 2, here's a message from our sponsor.
When I was at school, I always imagined Henry the Fourth Part 1 being his head and torso, and Henry the Fourth Part 2 being his bottom half.
Right.
Am I to assume from all this you're not going to apply for the head teacher's job?
I think they can come up with a better apologist for the system than me.
Well, I'm sorry. I was rather hoping we'd have someone here to protect the things we've put in place over the years.
And wrestle with the 1988 Education Act for the rest of my working life? I don't think so.
Looks like it's the maverick cop from L.A., then.
So then he says, just do as I say and you won't get hurt. And over your wallet. So the geezer being robbed says, but you're my bank manager.
That's a joke, is it? What happened to the funny bits?
Oh, you heard the one about the British Airways steward.
Even I've heard the one about the British Airways steward.
Ride me hard, Russell. A brilliant joke, that one.
Well, it's an improvement on the bank manager. You may have admitted the joke itself, but at least we got the punchline this
Watch
time.
Watch out, Blossom. He always asks for money when he starts telling jokes.
Oh, he'll be lucky. Giving him a sub's what the government's called throwing good money after bad, as in won't make the problem go away.
More's the pity.
I've never really understood the difference between good and bad money myself.
Look, what exactly do you want, Chris?
Are you waiting to be made editor or something?
Well, the job does appear to be vacant.
I think we should give it another go, Ian.
Give what another go?
Looky, ask yourself, where's your life going? I look at you and I see a woman desperate for love.
Hang on, Chris. I've been very tolerant up to now, but the green-eyed monster lurks in us all.
You mean...
That's right, Chris. I love you. Look, fair's fair, mate. It's time to stand aside and let Ian and I get on with our lives.
What?
How long has this been going on, Ian?
Oh, a few months.
Years.
Yes, well, time flies when you're partying.
And we certainly know how to party. Oh, by the way, darling, I've got those tickets for the Burt Whistle concert tonight.
Oh, yeah. Burt Whistle's great.
Burt Whistle, he was with The Who, right? You know, I'm disappointed, E. You could have done better than him.
Ride me hard, Russell. Brilliant joke.
Well, looks like he's left us to get on with our lives.
Yeah, looks like it.
I didn't mean it like that. I know you were just, you know, joking, even if he didn't.
He didn't, did he?
Look, I'm sorry I barged in like that last night.
Oh, yeah, well, wasn't going anywhere, was it? Me and her.
Well, no. I'm glad you're coming to terms with that. I can't think of a more improbable relationship.
Yeah, it's time to call it a day, I reckon.
Oh, never mind, Blossom. There's always another warped fantasy along.
So I'm just going to forget her. I imagine you could do with a break from her, too.
You have been a bit one-tracked of late.
Did I tell you she's just chucked Chad?
No.
Yeah? Chad's off the scene now.
Really?
Yeah, she's available.
Well, it's her oyster, then.
Ironic, really. Just as yours truly pulls out of the race.
Yeah, ironic.
Ah, there you go. Because now it's the stranger's folk.
Now, collected together on one superb album, Ma Hitchcock's greatest platitudes, including all his old favourites.
There's no such stranger's folk.
And
there's no smoke without fire.
And
regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention.
Not forgetting his all-time greatest hit.
Life's a tangled plotting of luminous lines.
Fall in love all over again to Ma Hitchcock's greatest platitudes.
Joking about the Burt Whistle.
Ah, complimentaries. I know some people on the festival committee.
Hope I don't see anyone I know. I don't want people thinking I'm going out with you.
Ditto. If these tickets weren't free, I'd make you pay for yours.
You mean people pay to come here?
It'll take you out of yourself, E. Just pretend it's a 3-day event or whatever it is that sports editors go to.
Is that how long it goes on for?
Well, you might get remission for good conduct.
That's not funny.
Where are you going?
Have a few words in private with my bladder. It doesn't know what it's in for. Do something about your face.
What's wrong with it?
It's too round.
Is it?
Randall broke our piano stool, you know.
Really?
He needed somewhere to practice in a hurry, and we were the only people on the festival committee with a Steinway. He didn't break it on purpose, of course.
Well, no, I didn't imagine he did. He doesn't have the raffish disdain of someone who smashes up piano stools for the hell of it.
Quite. Look, come over Sunday, Jane. This marvellous Belfast poet is coming.
Oh, well, actually...
And bring your young friend, too. What young friend?
I think she means me.
How long have you been there?
Since Brendel broke the piano stool.
Sunday at 2, then. Dress frivolous.
But I don't think I can...
Sounds a hoot. Why don't we go?
You'll find my company a bit of a pain. I get a bit earnest in the face of rural malpractice, you know.
Where are you sitting?
As far away from you as possible.
Don't tell me you know someone on the festival committee, too. Do you think anyone here has paid for their ticket?
Why don't you write a piece on corruption on the festival committee and give me a week off?
Look, this is silly. Why don't we bury the hatchet?
Suits me. Not that I have a hatchet to bury anyway.
I mean, we were getting along fine.
They're not circle seats at all. They're stall circles.
Who's this?
Well, we'd better get down there. That was the bell.
Oh, you see, they've even laid on a bell. Teachers need to have reminders of school all around them. They're like fish out of water otherwise.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, they've never actually left school, you see, so even cosy arts festivals seem threatening.
You mean they're institutionalized?
Precisely. Well, didn't take you long to get over Chad, did it?
What?
Isn't he a bit old for you?
He's my father.
Oh, I see. Well, I knew that all along, of course.
So where did you disappear to? Bloody
hell. It's you do know each other?
Yes, this is Mr. My old history teacher. I didn't mean old as in old.
Well, you look older. In fact, you've blossomed into a most attractive young woman.
Do you think we can find those seats now? It's a very long walk.
Well, it's nice to have seen you again. Yeah, very nice indeed.
Oh, well, so that's why you've been getting absolutely nowhere. She's into older men.
Older men?
Work it out for yourself. Dad is a teacher, she's a teacher. You've got to find a way of aging 20 years overnight, or it really is a warped fantasy.
Oh, we should go.
Mr. Callahan, of course, should have been able to work it out by process of elimination. It's over here, Mum. Oh, for goodness sake, what are you doing?
My escort dumped me for an old girlfriend. What happened to yours?
She cracked. They always say it's the tough marine commando types who break first. Bert Whistle was her Waterloo.
So, no prefects then?
No prefects.
I was hoping I might be able to scrounge a lift. I don't particularly want to play gooseberry to my father and his girlfriend.
Do I have a note from your father? Excusing you from school.
I do feel as if I'm playing truant.
I suppose we're both playing truant. Hop in.
Remind me, did we ever get the attendance officer out to see you?
Oh, no. I always attended. I was just spiritually absent. Same principle as spoiling your ballot paper. You have to make an effort.
You evolved by refusing to adapt to your surroundings, you mean? I don't think Chad would approve somehow. Have I taken you miles out of your way?
Well, I hadn't planned coming this way.
I'll have to invite you in, then. It's only polite.
Only polite?
Well, not only polite.
I mean, if you're tired...
Not especially. I wasn't planning on going to bed yet. Well, come on, then, if you're coming.
Right. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
I dropped my car keys.
Leave them.
It's too dark. I can't see anything.
Nor will anyone else. Leave them. The car will still be there when you leave.
Right.
It's never too late, you know.
Too late for what?
To learn to be polite, of course.
But through it all, I walked tall and did it my way.
In The Older Woman by Tony Bagley, Martin Clunes was Roy and Zoe Wanamaker, Jane. Toya Wilcox played Elsa, David Troughton was to stay, Nikki Henson, Chad, Jeff McGiven, Dick, and David Holt, Chris, and Nick Ross. Other parts were played by Philip Anthony, Matthew Morgan, John Badley, Jonathan Adams, and Linda Poe. The music was composed by Julian Bostel, and the theme sung by Toya Wilcox. The producer is Paul Sessinger.